Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 22. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. The church's angelic company. The words I draw your attention to especially are the last words in verse 22. To an innumerable company of angels. You are come unto an innumerable company of angels. With the word but there at the start of verse 22, the Apostle Paul is comparing two dispensations under the imagery of two mountains. There is the Jewish dispensation, pictured by Mount Sinai. There is the Christian dispensation, pictured by the heavenly Mount Zion. And in that contrast, Sinai verses 18 through to 21 and Zion verses 22 to 24, in that contrast, under these two mountains, we have to ask the question this morning, where is it best to be? Under which mountain would it be best to be found? Under Sinai? Or under Zion? At the foot of Mount Sinai with Moses in the Jewish synagogue of the Hebrews? Would it be best to be in a Jewish synagogue? Or would it best to be a member of the Christian congregation? Which would it be best to be? A Jew or a Christian? That's the question. And the apostle is implying, why would you Hebrew believers want to go back to Judaism? Why would you want to go back to the old? Why would you want to abandon the Christian faith? And so the apostle is clearly showing that you ought not to want to do that, because the blessings and benefits and the privileges of the Christian dispensation are considerably greater than the Judaism of the Old Testament. And in the text, you will see the emphasis is upon the privilege of Christian society. The Christian society. Christians have come to a high and heavenly society. That's the emphasis. You're come unto Mount Zion, the city. You're come to this society, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You're come to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And you're come to God, who is the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men who are made perfect. And best of all, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and you've come to the precious blood of sprinkling, which speaketh better things than that even of Abel's blood in the old dispensation. And so we've come into this society in the Christian church. And there's God, and there's Jesus, and there are the saints, and there are also angels. You're come unto an innumerable company of angels. The church enjoys the society of angels. That's what the text says, and that's what I want to speak about this morning, the company of angels, the church's angelic company. Now, there is much mystery here, congregation, and we don't want to go into fields of unfounded and unbiblical speculation. We want to stick with what is revealed in the Word of God. But there is some sort of communion with angels. It's real. The Bible reveals this, and this text this morning teaches it. And if it's taught in Scripture, then God wants us to know about it. There must be some reason God wants us to know about it. There must be some benefit in the revelation that we possess angelic company. God wants us to know that we have come to angels. Now, four things are certainly clear in the text. I want to leave them with you this morning as we look at this angelic company. The first thing is that angels are real. They're real. They are not creatures of myth. They are not creatures of fable. Now, we say this because there have been always religious groups and sects in Judaism and also in professing Christianity that have denied the existence and the reality of angels. The Sadducees were of such a sect in the Old Testament. You remember how it says in the Bible, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel, neither spirit. So the Sadducees denied that there were such things as angels. And as well as these sects in Judaism and Christianity, who from time to time deny angelic reality, the world abundantly denies it. In fact, the world has become so intellectually proud so as to be blinded to any kind of truth about angels. And this has especially become prevalent since the Age of Enlightenment. The subject of angels since that has increasingly been relegated to the realm of mythology. Belief in angels was almost as universal at one time as belief in God. But as time has gone on and as man has deteriorated in his mental faculties, he has come to have that position where if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. And if you can't feel it, it's not real. The last 300 years, especially, man's mind has become depraved to such an extent that he has adopted rationalism, materialism, and evolution, and accepts only what he sees or what only can be proved in a test tube in a laboratory. And so, as well as atheism and agnosticism multiplying to such an extent on this earth as has not been known before, as well as that, the reality of angels has been denied and they are looked upon as just mythological figures. But the text before us, the Word of God, teaches us that they are real. As real as God the Judge, as real as Jesus the Mediator, who is also mentioned in the text, as well as the spirits of saved men who now are in glory with the Lamb. Angels are as real as them. We have come to them as much as we have come to God and to Jesus. And throughout Scripture, we are frequently introduced to them. They were real to the prophets who wrote Scripture. They were real to the Lord Jesus Christ, who constantly is speaking about them and who experienced their ministry himself in his life and in his death. To deny angels is to deny Christ's divine infallibility, and it is to reject the Bible. This the church cannot do. This the church shall never do. Therefore, to the church, angels are real. And if the Bible says we have come to the innumerable company of them, then the Bible is true, and I believe the Bible, and we have to understand what the Bible says when it teaches this. Angels are real. But then secondly, we learn from this text and its context that angels are heavenly. The text clearly teaches that we're come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, where God is God the judge, where the spirits of just men are, those who have died in Christ, and their spirits have been glorified, and they have entered into the presence of God, and they are in heaven with the angels. This society is a heavenly society. We belong to a heavenly society. We have to see that by faith. We're not like the materialists or the evolutionist or the rationalist who has to see everything with his material eyes. No, we see it by faith. We have come to a heavenly society. And that heavenly society is described, the divine persons, God, the judge of all, Jesus, the mediator, the glorified saints, the spirits of just men. They're in heaven made perfect. And this heavenly communion includes the angels. And as you study the subject of angels in the Bible, which I must say is a vast subject and brings us through to many, many scriptures, but whenever we study it, we find that it is nearly always telling us of the heavenly nature of angels. For example, in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, you often see the angel of the Lord, and he is described as calling out of heaven, out of heaven. And the Lord Jesus, when he frequently speaks about angels, he often adds the description that they are the angels in heaven. He doesn't forget that matter. He doesn't just say, you're angels, but he says, the angels in heaven. And so it's a very important thing that we must remember about these who are our friends. These angels, they are heavenly beings. And in the book of the Revelation, which we have been looking at midweek, we have already come across this truth that the angels are in heaven. They, of course, are not confined to heaven. We know that. Their service for God brings them through the universe, and their service to God especially brings them very, very often to the earth. And so they have ministry in the earth. Though they originate and come from heaven, there is this heavenly, earthly interaction through the ministry of angels. Just as we are come unto the heavenly Zion through our Lord Jesus Christ, so they come unto the earthly Zion. They come to us as well as we coming unto them. You will remember the vision of Jacob's ladder. It was a dream that was revealed unto Jacob in Bethel, which was to him the gate of heaven. There was a gate. There was a connection between heaven and earth, and Jacob saw it in the vision. There was this ladder that reached down from heaven to earth, and on this ladder, what was happening? There were angels traversing the ladder. There was the going up. Jacob was come unto the angels, but the angels were also come unto him. This is true of the whole Christian congregation. That they are heavenly creatures is so comforting for us. And that is why the Bible wants us to know it. That these are heavenly creatures, that means they are sinless. That means that they are perfect, that they are pure. It means that they are happy and holy. It means that they are good, because only good can be in heaven. It means that they are near God. And it means that any interaction that the church has with angels is in their obedience to God. And whenever we come unto them, we are coming unto good creatures, pure creatures, with no malice, with no unkindness, that they are interacting with us in their complete obedience to our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our head, but he is also their Lord. And these, our friends, are pure and kind, have loving hearts, free of all malice and envy, and wish us and desire us only good. and minister to us only good. We also know that there are fallen angels. They are not heavenly. They are hellish. Demons who are wicked and malicious. Demons who are filled and motivated and driven by a spirit of envy and malice. Angels who are like their head, Satan himself. We're not come unto them, praise God. We're come unto the heavenly host. We are not come to them. Rather, the wicked and the ungodly are come unto them, sadly. The interaction of the unregenerate is with the foul spirits. And so those foul spirits fill them with that which they are filled, envy and malice. And they give place to these foul spirits. The world of wickedness has come unto them. But we are not come to them, praise God. The blind men and the dead men of this earth who are come unto angels that are fallen are brought by them to destruction. And those foul spirits under their master Satan work in the minds of those that do not believe. Remember how Paul said concerning believers before they were saved, how he reminded them that you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the foul spirit who works in the children of disobedience. The ungodly are come to the foul spirits. You remember how we are told in the book of the Revelation, there is this revelation of the great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent himself called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he's cast out into the earth, and his angels are cast out with him, and the world worships the dragon. They that dwell upon the earth, whose names are not in the Lamb's book of life, the Bible says, they worship the dragon, they worship him, and they are deceived by him, who works all manner of miracles with his power in the sight of the beast. And so the world of the ungodly are come unto these foul spirits, but not the church. We are come unto the heavenly company, this holy and good community. Bless God for that. Another comforting truth about the angels as our heavenly company, also very clearly outlined in the text, is that they are many. Because the holy apostle has to add the word innumerable. He has to tell us that the company that we have come onto is innumerable. And that's a word our translators use, and it's a good word. And it is the sense of the meaning of the word. And we have the imagery of this in other places of Scripture. We see a vision of God and a fairy stream, as it were, coming forth from his presence. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. You remember how it says in the song in Deuteronomy, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Mount Seir unto them. He shined from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. And from his right hand went a fairy law. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands and thousands of angels. The Lord is among them. And how we've seen in the book of the Revelation, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And the apostle cannot write this verse down unless he puts in that reminder, they are innumerable. This does not surprise us, brethren and sisters. The life in the sea is innumerable. The life in the earth is innumerable. The elect of God themselves are as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven, innumerable. And therefore, we would expect that the life in heaven is innumerable also. And so it's filled with angels. Multitudes upon multitudes of these holy good beings to whom we have come in the society of the redeemed. Many angels we know left their first estate, it is true. Their numbers were reduced somewhat by Satan. But as many as they were which left their first estate, they were only a minority. They were never the majority. Those that remain are still innumerable. We know where we read that the demons are innumerable. We do indeed read that they are legion, that they are many, but they are not described as innumerable. The majority of the angels are good, bless God. The fallen in this world, the fallen angels who inhabit this world, are a minority. And they are set to lose the great battle of the great day because their numbers are small, and most of all, the omnipotent God is not their king. The majority of angels are good, and we are come to them. And as I said, this is encouraging. And this is why the apostle says it. Why would you go? Why would you leave Christianity? Why would you leave the congregation? Why would you go back to the synagogue? We have the innumerable host of angels on our side. This is encouraging. And so the apostle writes it down. He doesn't just put it here as a cold theological fact for the theologian to dissect and lecture upon. That's not what it is. That's not why he writes it down. That's not why the Holy Spirit puts it down in the text. It is a theological fact, that is true, but it's a very practical theological fact. That's the truth of the matter. It comforts us that they are many. You see, Hebrews was written at a time of small congregations. It was written at a time of even dwindling congregations. You remember how the apostle says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The congregations were dwindling. There was this problem. And Hebrews was written at this time, and this text was written at this time, and the apostle has to put in, you've come to an innumerable company of angels. You little Hebrew congregation here and there who were struggling. And you're maybe thinking of giving up because there's far more going to the synagogue. And Judaism seems to be stronger than ever. You're thinking of giving up. Well, Hebrews was written at such a time. The persecuted and sometimes dispersed church was small, but it is comforting to know that we are come to such a company as this. You see, in the world, the church seems to be in the minority. Again, this, you know, what you see is a reality, this rationalism, this materialism. The church seems to be in the minority. The numbers seem to be with the world. Does that discourage you? It should not. This is a reality. We are come unto an innumerable company of angels. The text should encourage you, you see, who seem to get down and are in the number count game. If you want to be in the number count game, here's a reality. We've come to an innumerable company. What can be more encouraging than that to you who have faith? Saints sadly sometimes get the Elijah mentality. Ah, even I only am left. There's only me, Lord. What a terrible way to speak. And how sad that such a great man as him should say it to. You no doubt recall also in this context, Elisha at Dothan. He had a young minor with him, one to mentor in the things of God. And you remember how Dothan was surrounded by the Syrians, and there's a great multitude of the enemy forces come, as it were, for the prophet. And he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Look at the multitudes. We're outnumbered, master." And what did the old prophet say, who didn't live by sight, I should remind you, but by faith? What did the old prophet say? He just prayed. He said, "Lord, open this young fellow's eyes. Give him faith that he may see." And God heard his prayer, as he always did. And the Lord opened the eyes of that lad that he might see. And what did he see? "Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." He saw the innumerable company because the Lord opened his eyes. And I trust the Lord will open your eyes this morning. Or can we sit at such a text as this and your eyes still remain closed and you're still as cold and discouraged and unbelieving as ever? Will the Lord not open your eyes? Even pray it. "Lord, open mine eyes. Help me see the reality of things. Help me see the truth. And help me not to walk by sight. And let me not be like those agnostics and those atheists who have to have it in a laboratory and have to be able to see it and feel it and count it." Fellow saints, the church is not in the minority. There are more in the meetings than we can see. Counting and being discouraged is lack of faith. It is walking by sight. Our text is the reality. We are come unto them, and we can be sure they come unto us. They're here this morning. There is another truth implied in the text, and that is that these heavenly angels are our dearest friends. And that is the encouragement that we have to grasp. We have many friends, an innumerable number of friends. And maybe you feel rather lonely, and "I have no friend, and there's no one who really cares for my soul." And you're come to an innumerable company. That's the encouragement in the text. When it says that we are come to them, there is a relationship. There is some form of communion. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not like the communion that the saints have with God. We don't pray to angels. It's not like the communion that we have with the mediator, Jesus Christ. Nor is it in all respects like the communion of saints that we have with one another. But there is a relationship that has commenced and will continue and grow into eternity, that we are come unto them. There is a nearness to angels. If you come onto something, there is a nearness. And being near to God, we have been made near to them, because they're near to God. And if we're near to God, we're near to them. And they are near to us. And not only near, but dear. Because nearness brings dearness. The Lord Jesus refers to them as their angels. How sweet that is. That pronoun. In the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he had not said it, we could hardly believe it. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven," there it is again, the words of Jesus, "that in heaven their angels, do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." That word "heaven" occurs twice. It enfolds and encloses this truth that the angels of the saints Behold the Father's face. Now I tell you, there's a lot of sermons in that text. A lot of comforting truths for you to trawl out of it, to think about your angels before the face of your Father. They are our angels. Now, angels in the Bible, among the many things that they do, they bring divine judgment to the ungodly. It was an angel, you remember, who went through Egypt bringing death to the firstborn. It was an angel that went out into the camp of the Assyrians who were afflicting and persecuting the Jerusalem and the Jews at that time. And he destroyed in a night 185,000. And in the morning they were all dead corpses. They are mighty fiery angels. You remember how Herod was smote by one. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory and was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. His bowels were eaten away and consumed because an angel smote him. In the book of the Revelation, we see angels involved in the fearful judgments that fall on the world of the ungodly. Why is this? Because they are the enemies of those who are the enemies of God. But they are the friends of those who love God. And they minister to God's family. And they minister to God's flock. And in the world we have no friends, but in angels we have real friends, who have no envy nor malice. And they are not turned off by our poverty, nor are they turned away by our weakness. They don't despise us for our smallness of numbers. They care not that we are noble or wealthy, rich or poor. None of this matters. They care not that the noble come among us, or they do not come among us. This is not what they look at. It only matters to them that we love their God and belong to the divine Son, the great mediator Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. And where his people are found, they are found. You remember how Jacob was so discouraged, so fearful of meeting Esau. He did not know what would become of him and what would befall him. But he got an encouraging vision, a glimpse. Wasn't a vision, it was just a sight of the reality. For a little moment, his sight was, as it were, opened. And he saw them, angels, accompany him. And he said, "This is God's host." And every week we can say this: I welcome you to the congregation, but also there is God's host here. This is God's host. Because we are come unto them, and they are come unto us. It was an angel who brought the prophet bread in the wilderness. He come unto him. It was an angel who come unto Gideon to strengthen him and to encourage him. And you remember when Daniel was cast into the lion's den, and he was delivered and he came out, and the story was, my God sent his angel. And he just shut the lion's mouths. As hungry as they were, as fierce as they were, as ravening as they might have been, the angel just shut their mouths. Ah, our angels can do that, you know. They can shut the mouths of our enemies. They are our friends, and we are come unto them. And when we pass this scene of time and enter into a world of mystery and death, and we know not whither to go and whether to turn, our friends shall come along and carry us to Abraham's bosom. You remember how on occasions the angels came and said, "Fear not." Remember how that old elderly man So thankful that in his old age he got that one opportunity of being able to put the incense on the golden altar, and beside that very altar there was an angel. An angel was come unto him, and he said, "Fear not, Zacharias, your prayer is heard." You remember how the discouraged disciples came to the tomb, those poor women in their brokenness, and the tomb was empty, and they panicked, and the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." So kind, so friendly. No despising them because they're poor women. No despising them because they have little faith, but seeming to understand and helping them. Do you remember how Peter was alone in prison? His fellow apostle had already been smitten. The same was awaiting him the next day. And an angel came to him and smote him on the side and said, "Get up, Peter." And he broke his chains and they fell off and he led him out. Oh, our friends, our friends. On another occasion, he said, the apostle, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar.'" Now, all of this is very comforting. And just a few practical points very quickly in closing. It's very comforting to the church, this truth. Because, you know, in the world, there are no agencies that we can come to. Who can we come to in this world today? But we don't need to fear. We don't need the agencies of this world. We're come unto an innumerable company of angels. They defend us. They're at our disposal. We have angels. The hosts of God are available. The angel of the Lord, you see, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them too. He shall give his angels charge over thee, that they may keep thee in all thy ways. It's also a warning to persecutors, to our persecutors. Let not the world think that because they see a weak, feeble church that they can persecute it. Let not any of the ungodly think that because the church is feeble, is full of women, that it's weak and it can be persecuted and destroyed. Let not the ungodly think that. But rather let the persecuted world remember that one day destroying angels will visit them. Because the angel of those that they persecute beholds the face of their Father. Don't be bad to Christians. Don't be bad to any Christian. To be bad to any Christian is to be bad to their angels. And you do want to be in that boat. As Jesus teaches us, take heed that you despise not even one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And then in the hearts of the unconverted, this ought to produce therefore serious reflection. Because if you are not a Christian, then you are not in this company and these are not your friends. If you've not been made near to God, you have not been made near to them, and you don't have these privileges. And what is worse, if you have not come on to the innumerable company of angels in grace, if you have not come to them, as it were, in grace, and have entered into this holy society, then there is worse, and the worse is this, that you are the assembly of the wicked. You are the assembly of the ungodly. And you have come unto the devil, and you have come unto his angels, and you have come unto the demons. And you have come to the darkness of his kingdom, and you have come to the company of those who have left God. And you will come to hell itself, which I remind you by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you're not saved and not converted, that's where you're going. You're going unto their company. You're going unto the place where they are and where they shall be. You're going unto the Gehenna that has been prepared for them. You're going on to the damned, to the angelic damned, to hell itself. That's the company of the unregenerate. That's the company of the world, of the ungodly. That's the company of the unbelievers. That's the company of those who live by sight and not by faith. Therefore, turn unto the mediator and join this heavenly band, this glorious society, by faith in Jesus Christ.